So there was a certain mother who was concerned about her kindergarten age son, Timmy, about him walking to school by himself, and because he didn't want his mom to walk with him as he walked to school. But, you know, so mom wanted to give her son the sense of independence, but she also needed to know that he was safe, and so she was trying to figure out how to handle this situation. So she decided she was going to ask a neighbor. She asked her neighbor if she would follow her son to school, you know, staying at a distance so that he wouldn't notice her. And the neighbor said, well, you know, since I'm up early every day with my toddler anyways, you know, this will be a good opportunity for me to go out and get some exercise. So she agreed. Well, the next day, Timmy walks to school with his neighbor, a little girl, and this woman and her toddler follow behind Timmy and the young girl as they walk to school, and they did this for an entire week. Well, the first day of the next week, as the two, Timmy and the little girl, walked together, kicking stones and twigs, Timmy's friend noticed this woman walking behind them and kind of recognized that she has been following them. And so she turns to Timmy and says, Timmy, have you noticed that lady who's been following us to school all week long? Do you know her? And Timmy just simply said, oh, yeah, I know who she is. And the little girl said, well, what, you do? Well, who is she? And Timmy said, well, that's Shirley Goodnest. And the daughter's name is Marcy. And she said, the little girl said, Shirley Goodnest? Well, why, who is she and why is she following us? Well, Timmy exclaimed, every night my mom makes me, we say together the 23rd Psalm with our prayers because she worries about me so much. And in that psalm, it says that Shirley Goodnest and Marcy shall follow me all the days of my life, so I guess I'm just going to have to get used to it. So, I apologize. You know, it's kind of funny. I found that story. My mom followed me to school when I was in kindergarten, and I remember looking back and seeing this car just like creeping beside me, you know, and it was my mom. So we're going to be heading up to Erie later today for our Thanksgiving, and I'm going to have to tell her that story and about how I talked about her today. But so today we're getting to that Shirley Goodnest part of Psalm 23 that we've been talking about. And so let's read that scripture this morning. So, you know, first week we read the 23rd Psalm out of the King James Version. Last week we read it out of the Message Version. Today we're going to be reading it from the Contemporary English Bible Translation, the CEB. And so this is God's word for us today. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He lets me rest in grassy meadows. He leads me to restful waters. He keeps me alive. He guides me in proper paths for the sake of his good name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no danger because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they protect me. You set a table before me in the presence or right in front of my enemies. You bathe my head in oil. My cup is so full that it spills over. Yes, goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the Lord's house as long as I live. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, so today we're going to be talking about those final two verses in Psalm 23. Now, remember, we've already talked. So 2 weeks ago, when we covered the first two verses, we talked about how the good shepherd sustains, that the good shepherd strengthens us and supports us both physically and mentally. And now, last week, we talked about how the good shepherd leads, that his presence provides for us a peace regardless of where we find ourselves. And today, we're going to be talking about how the good shepherd hosts. And it's funny how things work out, you know, because so many of us are going to be a host this week, right? We're going to have family and friends come together and share a meal. You know, how many of you have fancy dishes or special dishes that you only get out when company comes? Anybody? Yeah. You know, Dave Snowden this morning, he got in a little bit of trouble because he said, oh, we have paper plates, you know. So you didn't give him a good elbow there. How about, does anybody here have a special meal planned for sometime this week, right? You know, I've been married for 26 years. And let me tell you, I have never seen Jan wing a Thanksgiving meal, right? We have been preparing and cleaning and shopping for well over a week now. And I know that when family arrives, Jan's going to get out those glasses and those plates that all have to be hand washed. I know that come Wednesday, we're going to be spending the day preparing all those dishes that we can prepare ahead of time and doing some extra bit of cleaning. And whew, I'm already tired just thinking about it. And David, right, he's thinking along the same lines here. He's not exhausted, but he's setting the stage. And right, Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And David is painting a picture here. Right, so this idea of a table being set, a table suggests a bounty. Right, as the invited guests, we're not coming simply to eat a meal. Right, God isn't setting out McDonald's or some fast food meal in front of us. He's preparing a feast. Right, he's inviting us to come and celebrate with a feast. This idea of preparation that he prepares suggests foresight and care, right? This was not some whipped together gathering. We're not coming up and knocking on the Good Shepherd's door unannounced. He has been waiting for us. He has been watching for it. The Good Shepherd has been planning on it. When he says, before me, it suggests a personal connection. Right, David uses the word thou. We would say you. Right, David knew and was familiar with the host. But this passage also suggests that the host is familiar with us. Right, we are the sheep that our Lord calls by name. He knows our name. He knows who he has invited to this wonderful meal. David then says, you know, all of this is being done in the presence of enemies. And a couple of thoughts here. I think this goodness and care suggested by the table set in the midst of the presence of enemies says a lot. The host's care and concern does not eliminate the presence of my enemies. But the presence of our Good Shepherd enables the experience of God's goodness and bounty even in their midst. Secondly, there is no haste. You know, when a soldier eats a meal surrounded by his enemies, it is a hurried meal. You do not rest. You do not linger. You eat and then you fight. But here there is no hurry. The table has been prepared. We have been invited to come and sit and rest. You know, the presence of the Good Shepherd does not eliminate the presence of enemies, but the presence of the Good Shepherd nullifies them. The presence of the Good Shepherd allows us to ignore them, to feast, to be, to rest with the shepherd, all the while being surrounded by evil and injustice, anger, hate. We get this glimpse of David, right? Not a David who is without enemies, but a David who is at peace even so. That God is providing for him abundantly now and abundantly in the days to come. This psalm gives us hope for the here and now, for life hope for life before death, in whatever dark night of the soul or the body we may be experiencing. We live in a world today where there are Christians all around the world who are violently being persecuted now. There is terrorism in all the corners of the globe. We live in a world where people suffer the consequences of other people's sin. And yet our enemies cannot ultimately overtake us. Because God in Christ walks through the valley with us. He leads us to the house of our Lord, our feeding ground for hope. And despite the dangers and the presence of his enemies, David enjoyed the richness of his host's goodness. He was refreshed with a head anointed with oil, given a cup that was just brimming over. And this idea of anointing in Scripture in the ancient Near East, it serves three distinct purposes. It's regarded as a symbol of health and comfort. It could symbolize a token of honor. But it was additionally a symbol of consecration. That anointing with holy oil was to sanctify, was to set apart something or an object as holy. And so as we sit with our good shepherd at a table that has been set before us, as we are surrounded by our enemies, the good shepherd anoints our head. He says, "You are mine. I am setting you apart for my use." And David says, you know, my cup overflows. And, you know, an overflowing cup isn't just a mess, but it's a picture of abundance. That God is not simply interested in keeping us alive, that God wants us to enjoy him and the world that he made. That he provides for us far more than we could ever need or want. In church, it's a mistake for us to think of this only in terms of physical blessings. Because our greatest blessings are not things, and they are not of this world. In the last verse of the psalm, it completes this passage by saying this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The psalm ends with the calmest assurance that he can enjoy the presence of the Lord forever. Both in this life and in the life to come. Right? I mean, the promise is incredible. We will live in the house of the Lord forever. Not for 60 years. 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, that we will live in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus told us, right? He told us that he came to give us eternal life. He told us that if we would truly put our trust in him, as a sheep does with their good shepherd, that we will live even though we die. You know, simply put, we will be where Jesus is. A podcast that Jan and I listen to called Bible Recap says this at the end of every episode. And the podcaster says this, that Jesus is where the joy is. Church, we will be where the joy is. We will be with Jesus. We get to participate in that joy. And as we near that point of death, that point of life that we call death, right, as believers, we have a different outlook than someone who doesn't believe. And someone who doesn't believe believes that death is a cliff, that there is nothing beyond. What a bleak outlook in life. Beyond this point, there be dragons. for the unbeliever, for those who don't know Jesus, death is the final act in the futility and the meaninglessness of life. But for us, those of us who believe in Christ, who trust in Christ, death takes on a different face. Because of the resurrection of our Lord, we know that death is not the end, that death is not all that there is. Right? We understand that death is merely the title page of a book, that we get to enjoy this wonderful story of eternal life. Death is the beginning of true life. It's reaching our destination. It is arriving home after a long journey. It's as if all of our life we are making this journey to the celestial city, as in the book Pilgrim's Promise. And at the time of death, we as believers arrive home, and we never have to leave again. In the church over the last 3 weeks, we have been talking about Jesus as our good shepherd. And so I need to ask you, do you know who your shepherd is? Do you know the good shepherd? Does the good shepherd know your name? Are you responding when the good shepherd calls your name? You know, who is it that you look towards when life becomes difficult? Where do you turn when you look for direction? You know, is it a teacher, a spouse, a coach, a friend? I mean, as wonderful as these people may be, let me tell you, they're simply sheep. And they cannot do what the shepherd can do. We need to come to that point, each of us need to come to the point where all of our life's cares are placed in the Lord's hands. Where we can say with assurance, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, not just the Lord is the shepherd or the Lord is a shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. And I have everything that I need. Who is your shepherd, church? Do you know Jesus as your shepherd? Now give your life to him. Turn your life over to the shepherd and be sustained and led and hosted for his glory's sake. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we pray to you this morning as we come in prayer. Lord, we pray that we would arrive to the point where we are exhausted about leading ourselves, that we are tired. Lord, where we will deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow after you. Lord, where we would say, Jesus, I need you as my shepherd. Jesus, I need you as the one who leads me. Jesus, I need you as the one who sustains me. I need you as the one who will host me forever and ever. Jesus, we pray that our lives would bow to yours, that we would hear you call, and that, Jesus, we would answer. It is in your name, Savior, we pray. Amen. You know, in the Christian calendar, today is the last Sunday of the year. Today would be considered Christ the King Sunday. It's the final week, the final Sunday of the Christian calendar, and it's a Sunday to recognize Christ the King. And Christ is the King, not a king, the King. And Christ is the shepherd, not a shepherd. Next Sunday begins the beginning, the first days of our calendar, with the first Sunday of Advent. But you know, the truth is that all throughout our calendar, whether it is the Christian calendar or the earthly calendar, Jesus is. And Jesus is there to guide us, to sustain us, to lead us, to host us. You know, Jesus is there because he loves us. Jesus is there because he is the one who laid his life down for us. You know, more love to thee. If we've got nothing else, we can give Jesus love. We can allow him to lead. We can allow him to guide us because he loves us. And we can turn our lives over to him.